Got to ask you a question tonight. Anybody here have any kind of problem today? Huh? All of you had some sort of problem today. How many students say, oh my goodness, you have no idea what I ran into today? Life has a lot of hard turns, doesn't it? I want to share with you tonight a few things. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. I've put all my verses on here, just I don't know why, I just wanted to do it. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Think of that again. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Let's go, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to come into you and to hear your marvelous voice. Lord, we thank you for this word that projects it to us. We pray that you might honor the preaching of it. We pray for the power and anointing of the Spirit in this, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I went 3 years of Bible college. I had 3 years of secular college, and then I spent another 3 years in Bible college. And so I crammed 6 years into four. And no, I crammed 4 years into six, what I did. No, I don't know what I did. Anyway, it took me 6 years to do all that, three and three. And one of the things I heard all the way through Bible college was this: don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. One of the themes that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say was, don't quit. He had a famous sermon on that. Great men and women do not quit. They're overcomers. They ignore difficulties. They resist tiredness. They fight opposition. They know that negative events will come, so they get ready for them. They prepare, and they fight through them. Only the weak fail or quit when the going gets tough. Seriously. So ask the question, how great are you? How strong are you? If you're often frustrated, defeated, thinking about giving up, or actually do give up at times, then perhaps you're weak. I think King Solomon, in writing this verse, want us to understand something. There is great hope, and you can succeed. Do you believe that tonight? You can succeed. I think one of the greatest things that I can do with young people is say, hey, I believe in you. I believe you can do it. I tell that to kids quite often, and I don't say it just to be saying it. It comes out of the heart because I believe they can. And it's amazing what can happen when we believe in something. No man, though, likes adversity. If thou faint in the day of adversity, we don't like affliction, we don't like difficulty, we don't like hardships, we don't like danger. All men, I believe, would probably choose to avoid it. It is easy for anyone to resent it, quite frankly. But our strength is measured by it. Adversity best proves godly integrity and perseverance. Without it, how would you have faith or strength? Think about Moses. He was a great man of God, but did he face some great problems? Yeah, he faced Pharaoh, and then he faced his own people who didn't want to believe him half the time. And yet we find he was the greatest leader probably of the Jewish people that ever walked the face of the earth, and he faced adversity. Listen, you can talk about the fact you think you can, but talk's cheap. You can believe that you're strong, but sometimes that's even more deceitful. But you can tell the Lord you never deny him, but Peter did that. Didn't work, did it? It's adversity that exposes our false professions of what we could call stony ground bearers, hearers. I can't even read my own writing tonight. Notice verse 20, chapter 13. Says, he that receiveth the seed in the stony ground, stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Is that what's up there? What is up there? What's up there? Doesn't want to show? Okay. Adversity hit us. I don't even know what I'm talking about at the moment. He that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth a while, for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, what does it say? By and by he is offended. You know, the Christian life is not easy. There are many, many difficulties. Ask Job, ask Moses, ask David, ask the Apostle Paul. The advantage, however, for the Christian is God has a promise for us to help us in all of our difficulties. Psalm 34, 19 and 20 says, many are the afflictions, I can't read tonight, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Notice Proverbs 24, 16. For a just man does what? Falleth seven times. But here's the important part, and rises up again, and rises up again. Okay, you might get knocked down, but you get right back up. Now, we need to understand, though, that Christian men, they tend to faint at times. Great men of similar passions have, and we find that that to be true in Moses' life. He said, what should I have, whence should I have flesh to give on all this people, for they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh we may eat. I am not able to bear all those people alone because it's too heavy for me. We find very much similar with, I lost his name, Elijah. It says, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my fathers. So we come across many different things. But one of the things we can know is this. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. I think of, that's the wrong verse. No, it ain't. Many psalms are written. I'm getting ahead of myself. David was discouraged on many occasions, but he wrote so many psalms. One of them is, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Even the Apostle Paul was cast down, though he was never destroyed from his commitment or his effectiveness. And we need to understand we can overcome. I want you to notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, and 10. Says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always buried about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. God, I believe, allows adversity to come our way to prove our faith. He did that with Job. And I believe that he allows trouble to come to see how much we will rely upon him rather than upon ourselves. Because let's face it, some adversity, if we don't rely upon God, we're going to sink. Is that not true? And so God allows some of those things to come that you and I might learn how to rely upon him. God also brings adversity to strength, to increase our strength through trials and it's much like what's in boot camp in the military. Faith is not built by prosperity, but rather by adversity. You must have God's help. His purpose is your perfection. And so we ought to appreciate difficult times when they come. In fact, wise men, we find, appreciated and rejoiced in it much. Notice what Paul says, he writes to Romans, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How often do we do that? Huh? Hey, kids, how often? You got algebra. Yes! I can glory in my tribulation. Huh? Yeah, that doesn't happen too often, is it? But what do we find? He tells us here, knowing that tribulation does what? Is it up there? Worketh patience. Okay. And patience does something too. It works what? And experience, what's that do? It works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so we find that though we have many things that seem to be against us, yet we find that God uses those in our lives, and we ought to glory in those things. One of the things we need to stop and consider is this. You never have a temptation that is greater than anybody else. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Sometimes we get the idea, I'm the only one that ever had this problem. I'm the only one going through this. No, you're not. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. I find that to be a fascinating verse in the Word of God. And God is faithful. And I've heard people say, I can't bear anymore. Well, God gave it to you. Evidently, He's got the strength for you to go through it. Amen? It's there. It's for us. Now, the kinds of things that you and I experience, they'll be different in kind, but God really tries all of us with an equivalent adversity. And so we ought to gain great comfort in realizing this important fact. Others are tested and tried as well. But God gives strength in all of these things. It's an inner strength by His Spirit to endure through all these times. That might be a little small, but I hope you can read it. The Apostle Paul, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, God allowed this thing that I'd not have pride. He said, "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect," where? "In weakness." And that's what He say. "Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How are you going to ever find the strength of God if you're not in a position of weakness? And Paul learned that God's grace was sufficient through all adversity. So he rejoiced in the difficulties that he might bring more glory to God. Somebody said, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." And I believe there's a lesson to this proverb. And you do this spiritually by trusting God and taking courage against the difficulties or enemies of life. Think about this, what we find back in the Old Testament. David was greatly distressed. They had come back and they'd found that their families had been taken and some armies were taking them away, and here they are. And so we find, it says, the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. That is a verse that has taken me through so many different times in life. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? In other words, be a man. Be a man. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." What's it take to stop you? What's it take to stop you? A sore throat? Runny nose? What's it take to stop you? Broken leg? What's it take to stop you? Financial distress? What's it take to stop us? He says, quit you like men. What's he saying? He's saying we don't quit. We don't quit. Because we have a hangnail, we don't stay home from work, we still go. Amen? Quit you like men. It's helped us remember, I think, something. That is, from Hebrews chapter 12, we have this great stadium of witnesses that is watching us. The Old Testament saints, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that it ought to be something that's, hey, they're cheering us on, that we might run the race and run it with patience. Since the days of the apostles, literally millions of people have faced martyrdom, endured adversity like you and I have never experienced and probably can hardly even imagine. I read the story, I believe it was in Fox's Book of Martyrs. They took a person, opened their tummy up, grabbed a part of their intestine, nailed it to a tree, and made them walk around the tree until they died. It's just beyond my imagination. But for the cause of Christ, there's some tough things out there. But there are people, I believe, that are seeking to get us to keep on going. I believe one of the things that's great and helpful for us, and perhaps if no other thing that we get from this, is that we need great friends, strong Christians who have strong faith. Because we find in the Bible that two are better than one, and three is better than two. Have you ever noticed how a rope is made? No, so often it's made out of three cords. In the book of Proverbs, it says this, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Somebody who's biased to take us through, to help us with all those things. A good friend can help us take courage and go on and keep us from giving up. I think of Hebrews 3:12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Notice here, but what? Exhort one another daily. Why does call today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? What's he talking about? He's talking about brethren, friends, who can help us, to exhort us, to say, keep on going, keep at it, keep the faith, so to speak. Later on in chapter 10, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. One of the things that often we do not recognize and understand is church is not just about coming, that we can put our face in there and be known and listen to a sermon, sing some songs, but it's also about being around people who are for you, who seek to build you in one way or another, and who encourage us and maybe get our minds off of ourselves even, maybe even through a joke or something crazy, but they are seeking for our better. Listen, you may get cast down, but you're not destroyed. If God's for you, Romans 8:31, who can be against you? Do you believe that God's ultimate success is so sure that he does work all things together for good? That's what he says in Romans 8:28, isn't it? God wants that in our lives. He's our helper, and his sure promises should be an anchor to our soul. Faith in him can defeat adversity, for it sees through and past setbacks. It can see the future ahead. It can see, hey, listen, it's all going to be all right somewhere. Keeps us from fainting. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen, Christian, your adversity is not the result of chance, but I would say the wise counsel of our Heavenly Father. Do you realize not a sparrow falls to the ground without his knowing it? Even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. He knows, and I believe is directing in these things to help us as we go through life. Don't get tired of doing right. You will reap if you faint not. God wants us to keep on keeping on. Amen? Don't quit. Don't quit. God wants to understand we grow in faith through adversity a whole lot more than through prosperity. We gain through all of those things. I noticed tonight that I think two, maybe all three of the songs we sang had something about that in them. Because life's a struggle, isn't it? Yeah. And listen, you can't overcome. You can't overcome. I don't know about you, that's good news to me. When I first got saved, I was very shy. I still feel very shy, but nobody believes me. Very inward in a sense, unsure of myself. Didn't believe I could really do much of anything. And God's had to show me through a process of different things that He can take us through. He can, and we can be victorious. Don't get downcast. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen? Yeah. Some of you face adversity today. Was it for your benefit or for your demise? How about it, kids with algebra? Was it for your benefit or for your defeat? Yeah, what was it? I saw the thing the other day. Man's laying on his deathbed, and the doctor comes in. The family's all gathered around. He says, "You only got a few moments left to live." And he says, "Praise God." He says, "I made it all the way through life and didn't have to use algebra." What we fail to recognize is algebra teaches us how to think. Whether we learn how to do algebra or not, it teaches us some very important things. And it has this necessary spot in our life. I don't know why I'm picking on algebra tonight, but it's one of those things. We have a lot of algebra courses through life, isn't that true? Just for survey, anybody here like algebra besides me? Yeah, I've got a few. Wow. Had you noticed, we're the weird ones. Yeah, just so you understand that. All right. But God can take us through anything. Amen? He's good. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and our young folks will cross the way. Just stay where you're at, the rest of you. And Jad, you got a prayer letter tonight? Amen. And he'll come and read that, and we'll have a time of prayer with that. Father, thank you so much for these moments. Pray you might bless and work in each and every heart. And Lord God, we thank you that whatever the adversity is, you have the privilege of getting the glory from it if we depend upon you through it. And so, Lord, I pray that we might glorify you through all those things. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.